And I was doing the helpline for 23 years. And eventually I became one of the lead trainers and redeveloping the whole service around the helpline. And I loved it. People knew me for being on the helpline. And I also, again, 3 months into my being with THT, they started developing a training course, a therapeutic course for people interested in becoming counsellors. And it was involving HIV and AIDS issues, sexuality, bereavement, and something else, I can't remember. I've still got the certificate. That was my first certificate. And it was presented to me after we completed the course. It was only a six-month course. I think it was 6 months. But it was, when I say only, it was like from the Friday night through to the Sunday evening. So it was really intensive over a whole weekend. And yes, it wasn't every week, it was once a month for 6 months. And there was assignments to do it. And I knew that I wanted to be a counsellor. And the main reason I wanted to be a counsellor was so I could work with people with HIV and serodiscordant couples. Serodiscordant means where one partner has HIV and the other doesn't. And there were, especially in those days, lots of issues.
What's the first word? Zero.
Serodiscordant. Zero. S-E-R-O. Serodiscordant. Yes. And that was mainly eventually I trained as a couple counsellor, individual counsellor, and I'm still a counsellor. I don't see clients now, but it's what I love. You know, the therapeutic world is what I've been doing for so long, and it's my passion. But my main passion is sexual health and HIV awareness and services and informed services. And these days I focus on trans people. So we started meeting to see what other interests we had. And what came out of that was we needed a specialist service for trans people and sexual health. And so Graham Reed, who's the other co-founder of Clinic Q, which is a service I co-founded with Graham, asked a group of young trans people, young trans queer people, called Project Q, to do a survey. They did a survey, and what came back from that was the experience of not just young people, but people of all ages, trans people, and their experience of accessing sexual health services, and it was dire. We knew this anyway, but this was kind of to affirm and reach a broader print of people and have something that we could use to show stats and people's experience in accessing sexual health. And it was just terrible. And eventually, after having some more meetings, another colleague of mine at THT introduced us, his name's Lee Brooker, and introduced us to Dean Street, the people at 56 Dean Street in Soho. And they were wanting to do something for trans people, but they didn't know what, really. They thought maybe they could produce a leaflet or something, some information. And then they said, well, how about providing a service? They said, okay, we can provide a space here. But it'll only be like 5 till 8 o'clock. That means everybody has to be out gone by 8 o'clock. So we went for it. And we opened up the meetings that Graham and I were having to people at Dean Street, people at London Friend, people at Antidote, and Gallup. To bring together a community, really, of people who were allies or trans people, to see how we could put this service together. And then I was asked to train all the nurses and doctors at Dean Street over a 3-day period, which I did, around these issues, around sexual health and HIV and all the issues and terminology and looking at what forms and looking at not just having binary forms. Binary means when you, in this terms, is male and female. If you think of male and female as being binary, it doesn't really, you can't record other identities if it's just a binary system. So you need to think about other identities within that. Well, the NHS is a bugger. So, not, can I swear? Anyway, not from being very binary, you know. And so we kept the paper records in Clinic Q, really. And Clinic Q, as it's called, with the Q is respecting Project Q and the work they did on the service, survey. And we've been running now for 3.5 years, coming up to 4 years. We're an award-winning service for enhancing patient dignity. I lived a chaotic life for a number of reasons, which I won't go into. And I knew when I met my partner, he helped me change my life hugely, massively. It was chaotic, and so I learned to be with him and just a few friends. And obviously, in Manchester, we knew a lot because that's where we met. We knew a lot more people. And again, a lot of my young trans friends died. There's only one from that time. They died when they were young. My first friend was when I was 19. And no one would bury her. We buried her. We got money together as a group of trans people, about 7 of us, to pay for a coffin and to pay for a burial ground. And they wouldn't use her present name, even though she changed it by default. They wouldn't use it. So on the coffin, we had her name printed on the coffin, not the name she was given at birth. So, you know, and you know, and it followed, really. A lot of other people died young. So, yeah, anyway, it was just a bit chaotic. And, yeah. So when I met him, my partner, he helped me change my life completely. But we became initially very much together. He was a student. I moved into student accommodation for a while. And then he moved into my mum's house with me until we got our own place a few months later. And, I'm kind of losing my train of thought.
Well, no, I asked you about how trans people would treat you.
Yeah, I guess.
Generally, yeah.
Not well, really. Then that still happens today. You know, there's Trans Day of Remembrance, and held annually. And in that Trans Day of Remembrance, the names of all the trans people that were murdered are read out, and it goes into the hundreds. And that's not, obviously, it's not just from the UK. Only a few people that we know of in the UK are murdered. There's lots more that are beaten up or violence against, or verbal violence. But usually it's from around the world. And they're murdered because they're trans women. Very few trans men are identified in this names reading. And it's huge, really. And just today, just this day, there's out on Facebook, in 2015, where a trans woman's being sent, a 26-year-old trans woman, being sent to a male prison. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And, you know, how can that be? The issues there are just huge. And you can't do that to someone who's got a gender recognition certificate, because that would be illegal. And so, you know, there's still issues that are different. And, you know, a lot of people didn't even know about trans people, you know, back in the day. And I remember in the papers when I was 12, April Ashley, in the 60s, was exposed in the papers. I remember reading that, and I thought, and I knew my identity as some, I'm not sure what I knew about my identity, but I knew I wasn't male, whatever that means. And when I saw April Ashley in the papers, it just resonated with me hugely. And I knew then what I would do. kind of crystallise something. So yeah, I mean, I'm not far off 70 now. So, you know, it's a long life. And, well, I mean, I'm 3 years off 70. So
jaw is still dropping. Really?
Yeah, really? Wow. What?
No, I had no idea you were that age.
Well, I guess thinking about 1969, I was 19.
I know, well, okay. I haven't done that, but...
yeah. So,
God.
So, you know,
you've seen quite a lot.
I've seen a lot over various decades, really.
Do you ever get weary, or are you still very hopeful?
I don't get weary in that way. I mean, I must say that transitioning and gender care is not my passion. There's enough people into that and wanting to change and improve that. I'm interested in individuals, how it impacts on them, lack of services in gender care. But I'm not campaigning for better gender care services. What I am campaigning and want is better awareness of all servicing care, especially around sexual health and HIV. And also in the community aware of PrEP and PEP. You know, PrEP's not available in the UK yet. That means pre-exposure treatments so that people don't become HIV positive. And PEP is post-exposure. So if somebody's been at risk of HIV, they can get PEP. And I talk about this at community groups, and like only one or two trans people have even heard of PEP, which has been around for some time, some years. So there's just that basic awareness raising within the communities. And this is where my passion lies in such, it drives my partner mad. A bit crazy, because, you know, I just can't. I have a choice, I'm aware that as a therapist, but that's where it lies. That's where my driver is. You know, I owe a lot to people that died. Sorry. And, you know, I sometimes feel I never did enough. But that's just my stuff. Don't know why I've got upset. You know, I don't really think about that very much. Just go with the future.